Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. I decided to let the music play on through this morning. Sometimes I just like listening to it. I don't know what it is. It's time to change the music. Do another theme, baby, but I can't really seem to let it go. So we'll just have to put words to it and get sort of dress it up, just change the dress and keep the body of it. You know, it's just something about it, and it's a personal thing, I'm sure. Not that everybody else like it like me, but the Holy Spirit picked it out, and it just been that way now going on 13 years. It just sticks with me. Anyway, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a beautiful morning. You know, we're getting toward fall, and I can feel it. A little crisp in the air. The trees are looking kind of brownish. And, you know, all the little signs that fall is in the air, and we're getting close to cooler weather. All right, all right. Let's say this morning, let's see. Go in and get our co-host here. Let's see. Good morning. One second. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. How are you? Good morning, audience. Good morning, Deborah.
I am doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm determined to be good. All is well. Thank you.
Very, very good. Very good. Very good. Deborah is listening in today.
Okay.
Yeah, she said she wasn't. I think her throat is a little scratchy this morning, so she's listening.
Okay.
In with us.
Okay. So, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, it sounds kind of doubtful. Me and you both coming across here sounding doubtful. I'm doing good. You know, but anyway, how was your week last week?
My week was productive. It was, I don't think I was challenged in my mental state this past week. I think I kind of kept that under wraps. As you say, I was minding my mind. And so I mind my mind this past week, listened to a lot of positive messages as it relates to the Word of God, and so I was determined to hold on to that, and so my mental state was good. It was a busy week, just playing catch up after the loss of my nephew. I was gone for 2 weeks, so came back trying to catch up, and so I had a productive week, and mindset stayed stable, and that's for me, that was important. In order to get done what I did get done. And so I'm continuing to fill out and got a lot of work to do this weekend. My goal is to get it all done, but we'll see what happens. But, you know, I say all the time that children try, adults do. So I'm going to do everything I can to do what I need to do. So and we're going to go from there. But my week was very productive and my mindset was good. So I'm good. coming across a little doubtful, but I ain't gonna let it happen. I'm determined to be good, so all is well. What about your week?
My week was a week. It was interesting. We had challenges, basically, and really starting last week and ran into this week, but we got everything done, got everything. We had opportunities that came our way that was determined, that was calling for writing and putting information together and making a presentation. So we got presentation done, and then we're getting ready for our television shoot. And actually got some stuff by having the mother and daughter, the global mother and daughter global movement advisory board retreat. We had so much stuff that, you know, we got to buy a lot of stuff that I know we'll be using as we move around and doing events different places. So that was a big help to go back through the inventory, saw what we had, and putting the stuff together and actually ordering stuff for the television network itself, getting those things ready so that we can start shooting new programming next week. I'm excited about that. It's looking really, really good. But I was telling myself that, you know, we're just going to let it happen. I'm not going to get all in a panic about it or anything, or get nervous or tense or this ain't happened, that. I told the producer, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit flow. And so it's going to be what it's going to be. We're going to get at least 6 shows out of the weekend, or possibly 7. And we're going to go about our business and enjoy the weekend. So everything is good. Everything is good. I know Deborah, I was trying to text Deborah. I saw where she has her hand up as if she's got a signal, like she wants to talk. Deborah, if you are saying you are talking, you have one up. So just let me know yes or no. So I don't want to ignore that, because you do have one up. All right. Other than that, no, I prayed. Deborah called this morning. I prayed for her. So Deborah, we just pray that all is well with you. Cynthia, would you give us a prayer this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Father God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It comes down to mindset, Father God, minding our minds. You have given us instructions how to walk in your goodness and your mercies, and without succumbing to distress. And so, Father God, when we are tempted to not be well, we're going to cast down those things and replace the negative with the positive. You said, think on these things, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things of good report. These are the things that I will think on. And so, Father God, I just thank you for instructions. I thank you, Father God, that you've given us a way to be okay. You've given us a way to have joy, despite the circumstances and the situations of life. And life happens to everybody, so none of us have to be overly concerned about anything, because you allow things to happen, but you are always with us. And because you're always with us, we can always reach into you, Father God, reach for you and know that you are there to help us get through whatever circumstances that's going on. And so when we learn to cast down those negative thoughts, we can rise above the influence of discontentment. And so, Father God, it comes down to being content and doing our part. And we have a part in this, Father God, in making sure that we walk according to your word, according to your way. And so, Father God, I choose your way today. I thank you, Father God, for this radio show. I thank you that something will be said today that will change the mindset of someone out there struggling to be okay in whatever circumstances they may be in. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness and your mercy. You're choosing us to do this radio show. We thank you, Father God, that we are in obedience and giving the word out on Saturday mornings. We can be asleep, or we can be doing anything other than what you've called us to do. We thank you for obedience. We thank you, Father God, for sticking and staying. And we thank you, Father God, for all things, because you, thanking you in all things. You didn't say thank you for all things. You say thank you in all things. So whatever the circumstances may be, we could just say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for you are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Father God, that you, Lord Jesus, was the perfect example of humanity. You walked through this thing called life here on earth as we do today. And because you did it, we can do it as well, because you've given us the footsteps and you've given us the blueprint and how to do it and do it well. These things I pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah, that's that is the key right there. We have the footprint. We have the instructions of what God would have us to do. So all we got to do is listen. He said, keep your eyes on his word, incline your ears. That means you keep in your ears, his word playing in your ears, you know, constantly. Feeds your soul, it feeds your subconscious mind. And it helps you when you get to a point where you just don't know which way to go. You're at the crossroads, you know, you're just like, I'm at the crossroads. I don't know where to go. But anyway, here we are. Thank God he woke us up. We're here and another day. Mothers and daughters out there, I just want to let you know the Matriarch Now community is open. We're inviting you to come in, invite your friends to come in. To everybody that's listening, I would like for you to go to your social medias today, and we're doing a mad dash. Go to social media and just, you could say something very simple. Check out matriarchnow.com. That's it. Check out matriarchnow.com. And when you put that in there, they'll be able to click on matriarchnow.com and take them straight to the community. So that's what we're doing starting the day, a mad dash. I'm going to be checking to see how many people come on and just see who's sending it out and all that. So I'm going to send it out to our board members today. Everybody send it out to your friends. We're going to see our goal this weekend is to get at least 200 mothers and daughters over the next couple of days. And go into the page. Everybody go into the page and hit the page. Check out our new community. We're moving. Check out our new community. If everybody start doing that, then other people will see it. They'll start moving over to the new community. I'm excited. God has got some exciting things there. Some exciting things are coming in. We just need to move people into the community so we can start the service. Can't service if you don't have people in the community. So now our work begins. So I thank you, mothers and daughters. Pass it out to other mothers and daughters, friends, family. Let them know if you're a female, you are a daughter. And if you're a daughter, you had a mother. And you do have a mother and daughter relationship. And whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, that's what we're there for. We're to help you make the best of your mother and daughter relationship. Even if your mother's not with you, you may have residue in your spirit that you just have not cleaned out. And that brings us to our topic this morning. Mothers and daughters, it's time to forgive. It is time to forgive. No matter what it is, it's time to forgive. No greater time than now, because it just gets to the point where we hold on to things and not knowing that we're holding on to it. It's just there. But those little things are the things that block us. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, Cynthia, and I'll come back and get your side of the story in a few minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, so today the topic is mothers and daughters, it is time to forgive. It's time to forgive. And I know a lot of times people say, oh, I have forgiven them. Oh, I'm over that. Or somebody call you and say, you know, I need to apologize to you. I was wrong, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And I've heard people say, oh, girl, I done forgave you a long time ago. Oh, man, I forgave you a long time ago. I forgave you a long time ago. But you could tell by the way they say it, they really didn't. You know what I'm saying? They just want to have one up on you. I forget. Like you just coming around now? I've been there, gone, left in a new, whole new state, whole new continent, and you just coming around. See, that's not forgiveness. That's not the spirit of forgiveness, because she's still trying to get one up on the person that's humbly coming to you saying, please forgive me. No, only means that the person has just came to a place in their heart that they want to say, you know what? I was wrong. I really was wrong. And you know they stewed on it for a while. Because most people don't say I'm wrong and just pick up the phone and call. The Holy Spirit's going to work with them. And they're going to start getting, you know, having these intra conversations, those ongoing conversations in their head. And it's going to play back and forth, back and forth. And then the enemy's going to try to tell you why you shouldn't apologize. Oh, well, she did this, or he did that, or, you know, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have done that. You know, it's always a reason to say, I'm justified. I'm justified. Because if you can feel justified, you feel like, hey, I've done no wrong. But if it keeps coming back and forth to your mind through your intra-conversation, it's not settled in your heart. Because things that are settled in your heart is put to rest. It's put to rest. It don't torment you. It don't come back and forth. It's only when you know in your heart that you have not forgiven the person. Now, I know some people out there are saying, that's not me, because I forgive and I forget and I move on. Then I would say, you might want to check yourself, because that's everybody. Everybody. If you go back, there's something you never settled. There's someone, the person may be dead and gone, but you never settled that thing that only you know and God know. And that little thing can cause you not to go to heaven. Now, that's not my word. Unforgiveness is one of those things that you're going to have to answer for. You're going to have to forgive. It's like if you say, if you're not showing love, love and forgiveness, that's major to the combination of getting into heaven. Accepting Jesus Christ, love, and forgiveness. Those are major. That's your ticket in. But sometimes you want to say, oh, I accept Jesus Christ, and I love everybody. But some people you can't love. Some people you just can't forgive. You know, you got the but. And sometimes you don't say but you pause with the but. And everybody feeling in their mind, because their intra-conversations are going on too. And they're listening to you. And then they can feel your spirit. See, when people know when you mean what you say, because your spirit speaks louder than your words. That's why you can tell when people are talking about you. That's why you can tell when people are lying about you. That's why you can tell when people are doing things. And they'll turn right around and say, oh, girl, that wasn't me. I didn't say that. Oh, come on now. God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. If he give the deer an instinct that can pick you up for 200 feet, come on now. You standing in my face. And you think he don't give you the discernment when somebody's lying to you? He gave us that protection shield. You know, you may not say nothing. You walk in a room and they talking, and the minute you walk, you feel it, because all that energy that they talked about It goes directly to you. And don't say that you don't know, like, well, I don't do that. I don't talk about people, da, 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 da. No, don't say that. Because what? We've all experienced that at one time or the other. You coming toward them, they talking, and you know they talking about you. And then you feeling it because it's just the energy is about to knock you down. But you walk up and you act, you may say, oh, so y'all talking about me? A girl ain't about to talk about you. Lie, 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 beep, 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 beep. On the radar. You can't prove it. So what you do? You just act like, okay, well, that's the way I want to do it. But you feel it, and it goes to the core of your spirit. It's time to forgive. I mean, really forgive. You got to dig deep to forgive. I mean, deep. And even when you tell the person you forgive, you still got to go deep. And that's a conversation with the Lord. And see, they don't have to be in your face for you to forgive them. You don't even have to be talking to them for you to forgive them. God gave me a recipe a long time ago when I needed to forgive someone. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. This is years and years and years and years ago. And he said, yeah, you're going to have to forgive them. I was like, why would you make me forgive them when they did this, 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 and this? Yep, you're going to have to forgive them. I said, Lord, I'm going back and forth with the Lord knowing that the Lord is right. But see, we are that human that thinks that we're right and what's in our head is right because we thought about it. Don't you know you're wrong? Because you ain't never thought of nothing that God hadn't created. So anytime you go against what God is telling you, then you know you're wrong. Come on, let's just be realistic about it because you never created a thing. So now that we got that, and I said, well, Lord, he said, no, I want you to bless them and send them love every morning. When you get up, that's what you're going to do. I was like, Lord, please don't. Okay. Finally, I did it. The next morning, I got up and I blessed the person and I sent love to the person. And I was saying it like a little kid that, well, God bless you and I send you love. Kind of a, you know, like I was dreading to do it. And I was because I didn't want to do it. I'm going to lie to you. I did not want to do it. So the next morning I got up and I said it again, the person's name, you say the name, and then you just say, I bless you this day, and I send you love. I was a little better the next day. The next day I said it, and all of a sudden my head was up, my shoulder was back, and I was a little better, and I said it again. And by that fourth day I was saying it, and I meant it. And all of a sudden, something lifted off of me. And I really meant it. Good morning. And said the name. I send you love and I bless you this day. And I hope that everything that you are putting your hands on today be a blessing to you. I started going deeper. I started giving some more stuff to him, you know. And then I walked, it freed me. Because we can walk around angry black women, as they say, angry white women, angry whatever, Chinese, Indian, African. We can be all kind of angry women that hurts our children, that hurts relationship with other women, other men. We just, oh no, just angry. But it's hurting you. You can't be effective with your children. that taught me a lesson. And from then to now, whenever something happens, you know, I just walk away from the situation because I know I'm going to be free. And by the time I send you love and blessings, it's just like God just take you right out of my head, and you don't even exist anymore. Because, see, that's cleared up. It's cleared up. Now, the person may be walking around holding it. That's not my problem. Keep in mind, you can't change nobody else. You're only responsible for yourself. Let them walk around until revelation comes to them. That's their journey. That's not your journey. Let them find revelation. It's like God brought revelation to me through the Holy Spirit. Once he gave it to me, he knows now I'm expecting you to do better because I've given you the recipe I need for you to use. And if you walk around with unforgiveness in your heart, then you are defying me. You are actually going against what I told you because I know you understand. I know you've done it, and I know you've feel the benefits of it, the joy of it, the love of it, the forgiveness of it. But even at that, I have to remind myself because I could be in a situation and go for a few days or whatever, and then all of a sudden it hit me. You know better. I told you what to do. Because we can slip back into that old habit. It's just the old habit of doing things. And that's why we have to constantly renew our minds every day. Renew your minds with what? Renew your minds with the word of God. What did he say? Remind yourself. Keep those words in front of your eyes. Keep them, your ears aligned with it. Because if you don't, you're going to build a brick wall. And you're not getting past that brick wall. A brick wall is hard to go through. And especially when you're layering it. Now you started off with just one layer of brick. And then now you just done got this 10 years. You done got about 10 layers of brick there. Now how you going to go through that? You got it so high you can't go up. So wide you can't go around. So deep you can't go under it. You just blocked off. One thought of forgiveness can remove that wall, part in the Red Sea, and you're free. You know, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you need to call so-and-so. You need to do this, and you put it off. And you put it off. And you put it off. That's really putting more cement on the brick wall. And we all had walls we had to break down, and we still start walls up, and, you know, and when I see myself building a wall, I have to, I go right back to what he told me. And believe it or not, it will set you free. It will. The truth will make you free. Forgiveness will set you free. You will wake up feeling like fresh air flowed from the top of your head all the way through your body to the bottom of your feet. But this word justified, in our mind when we can justify and we think that we're right, then we need to do what? We need to check what we say is correct against the word of God. What did God say? Now, that's going to give you your answer as if you are justified, because you're only justified through the word of God. Not what you create in your mind and not what you learn from your mother or your grandmother or not what you learn from your friends, you know, or television, radio, TikTok, hip-hop, Facebook, Twitter, any of those things, not what you learn from those things. But what did you learn from the Word of God about that particular situation? That's your justification. Your justification comes through Christ. Now you walk around and says, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian and oh Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm a Christian. And I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and on my way to heaven, people used to say that. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and on my way to heaven. And there'll be the meanest person saying that all in church. And then they get there and they're just as mean as a snake to someone, talking about people, calling them out of their name. But you a Christian? At what point in the Bible did you see Jesus do that? A Christian means that you a follower of Christ. You take on his behavior and his personality. You take on the way he operated and communicated with the Father. Now, when you're talking about someone, and we try to justify, well, I'm not talking about them. I'm just talking about the situation. Justify, that's a lie. You're talking about them. Stop justifying stuff. God hears you. So you're not justifying to God. You're justifying to the devil. He's the one that got you going on with trying to prove that you're right. You don't have to prove that you're right to God. All you got to do is do what he say, and it is right. There's nothing to prove, not even to yourself. But we justify. And those little things, it's the little things that confine the wise. You think you're so smart. But you're not smarter than the teacher. You're never going to get smarter than Jesus. And you want to be like Jesus? Just read about him. He didn't talk ever directly to anybody by calling them out of their name. He talked in parables. He had conversation with Peter and his disciples. I'm not saying that. But when he got ready to give a message, he gave a message that everybody could receive. Because he knows that everybody has different mindsets and they thinking and their experiences and what they're going through. All of that combines together, make up you and your personality and your thought form and your perceptions and how you think about things and how you receive it and how you spit things back out. He knows that. So he talked in parables because everybody's going to get it a different way. I can make one statement and there could be two people that's listening and ask them, what did I say? And they'll give you two different interpretations because they're coming from all that they know within themselves. Their experiences, their lack of knowledge, or their greater knowledge. Some people are so intellectual, they're going to take that little statement and they're going to chop it up, break it down, and give you the ands and buts and the footnotes and, you know, the connectors and who it's connected to and the where it arrived from and the departure of it. Oh, they're going to tell you everything about that simple three-word statement. Whereas the other person may just say something that really is, doesn't even connect to it. So one ain't no different from the other. Because one thing you have to realize, nobody knows the intent of a statement except the person that made the statement. And sometimes they don't know. They think they know. Why am I going in this direction? Because the Holy Spirit is saying so. That's how we justify. I remember when I was out doing workshops and training, and I would tell them, once I taught them about Mike and why I see managing your intro conversations, Everything that I do, I teach people how to manage their intro conversation. You have to get that first in order to receive what I'm bringing behind that. Whether it's corporate training, whether it's mother and daughter, if it's leadership, if I'm speaking at a church, you've got to understand, Mike, managing your intro conversation. Because that's how you communicate with God, and that's how you communicate with other people within yourself. So once you get that, then you can better understand that your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your visions, and your visions will manifest into your reality. So if you don't like where you are, you simply change what you say. That's a simple recipe. But that's your life right there. And God showed me that in 1979 when I asked him, why am I here? What's my purpose? I sent you, Bessie, to teach my people how I communicate with them. And I only come one or two ways. I'm going to come through their intro conversations, or I'm going to come through man. Because the spirit is within you. And the spirit is going to speak to you through your intro conversations. And Satan knows that. Because keep in mind, he was an angel. He was a part of the team. And he decided he wanted to overthrow. So you got some people want to overthrow the kingdom. And he got booted out. So he knows how the communication process works. And because he can't get in on the conversation, he listened enough to know, and you talk so much. You just talk. Telling everything. Well, he's listening to you. And he takes what you say, and he turns it against you. That's why you have to be careful with the words that you use. And you blame Satan? Don't blame Satan. Blame your mouth. Blame the words that's coming out of your mouth. Because you sending out a boomerang word to come right back to you. And of course, he's going to take those words and whip you behind with it. So when you start talking about people and saying that you don't forgive them, or they this and they that, and you think, well, me and you are friends, so I'm just telling you, between me and you, you know, she this and she that and she like that. Oh, God, hear you. He's just listening to you, and you're thinking you're just having a little conversation with your best friend. It ain't going nowhere, but we're just going to talk about it. We ain't really hating her, but we're just going to say this. Well, I don't understand why she's doing that. Do you understand why she did? No, I don't. Well, see, that's gossip. It's still gossip. You can't justify it. So an enemy just says, oh. Now, he going to run around and do something to tell the person that you're talking about. He going to come and have a conversation with the person. How do you think people know? That's his job, is to listen to what comes out of your mouth, and you give him power. So when you say you're not going to forgive a person, he's going to bring some situations, some words, something on television. He's going to keep it in front of your eyes to make sure that you stay in unforgiveness. You ever notice if you say you're going on a fast, he hear you because you said it. Oh, yeah, we're going to go on a fast. We're going on a fast. And what are you going to do? I'm going to cut out. I'm not eating any meat, and I'm not going to have any coffee, and I'm not going to. Oh, okay. Everything on television that you see is about a steak, chicken, fish, whatever. New coffee came out. The aroma so strong you can smell it through the TV. He's going to torture you because you put the words out. You're going on a fast, shut your mouth. Talk within yourself. That's between you and God. God is not on the outside of you. That's why he keeps telling you, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So what does that mean? That means your body is walking around in this world. But you're not of the world because the pot is in you. That's why he say, greater is he that's in me or in you than he that's in the world. Come on now. Don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So your body is exposed to the world. That's why he tried to attack your body. But he can't get inside to your soul. Because great as he is inside, you think Satan can get inside of you? The devil's a liar. He can't get in where Jesus is. Now, he's not that powerful. If you got God on the inside of you, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry about Satan coming inside. He can't get inside of you. The only thing he can do is find your weak spot. And if unforgiveness is a weak spot somewhere, then he's going to work you with that. If gossip is your weak spot, he's going to work you with that. It's complaining, feeling sorry for yourself. Oh, poor, pitiful me. I don't have enough money. He's going to work you with every word that comes out of your mouth. That's why he said, we're going to be accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. So in essence, it'll do us well to keep our mouth closed and only open it when you have to. Can you see a world like that? Wouldn't that be something? But there are a group of people like that. There are a group of people that only speak when they need to speak. Other than that, they just don't have fearless conversations, you know, just running the mouth and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And you keep talking, you talk up something and talking about nothing. And that's why we get in trouble. And he'll talk you out of forgiving somebody, even your daughter, mother. He will talk you out of forgiving your daughter. Yeah, but she did this and she did that. And your daughter, he'll talk her out of forgiving her mother. And mothers and daughters are not speaking for years. That's the craziest thing. I'll never be able to wrap my mind around it. I carried you for 9 months. I fed you, changed your diapers, bought your clothes, took you to school, helped you in the activities that you want to be a part of. I nurtured you. No, I wasn't perfect mother. But guess what? There is none. So you're not going to find a perfect mother. And yet you're not speaking to your mother. But now all of a sudden, you are at an age that you've learned a little bit about life. And you know you've experienced some things, some of the things that you accuse your mother of. But see, the enemy will have you to say, oh, you don't need to forgive her. Because remember, she did this. He's going to always bring the one thing that you're holding on to the most. And you will justify why you shouldn't forgive her. And that's the mother of the daughter. But yet, you got to meet your Savior. And you got to stand before the Lord. And you got to look at a video of your life. And as that video playing, and you look back through your intro conversation, oh, everybody's going to hear what's going on in your head. There's not going to be a secret. You had opportunity. It's going to show what the Holy Spirit tried to show you. And you may say, well, I'm in heaven, so it doesn't matter. It does matter. Anybody in heaven is not sitting on the same throne, and he tells you that. Why am I saying all of this? Because it is time to forgive. We're having tornadoes. We're having hurricanes. We're having fires. We're having mass murderers. We have people just walking in neighborhoods shooting people. We got husbands killing wives, wives killing husbands. We having people killing whole families. people going to an event and somebody just decide, I'm going to shoot everybody in the event. People running for their lives. Where does that come from? It's evil. It comes from unforgiveness. It comes from a bad, mad mind. A mind that have talked itself into motivating the body to move. Because it didn't just happen in a split second. That's why they call it premeditated. They done sit down, done talked about it, done meditate on it, done figured it out, done planned it, and then all of a sudden, the enemy got you rolled up. They got you all riled up. You ready? You ready? You ready? Yeah, I'm ready. You ready? Because see, now this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden, you stop going it. Let's do it. And you get in the car, whatever, and you go out and you just start. Because you're still in it and he's still pumping you up. Yeah, because see, they did this and they said that and they didn't do you right. Nah, nah, nah. And he's still talking to you and you're still listening and you're feeling justified. And you start shooting. And sometimes people shoot bullets out of a gun. But the most dangerous bullet is your words, when you shoot a word to a person and hit them in the heart and they still living. But you crippled them with that word, but you feel justified. Come on. It is time to forgive. It is time. Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yes, ma'am. As human nature, man, it is human nature to get angry, but God, again, tells us to be angry but sin not. And so what does that really mean? And yes, it is dealing with those different personalities that we struggle due to resistance of our own personality and what we've come to believe and based on our experiences. You know, we have difficult conversations. We have difficulty dealing with people when their personality is different from theirs. But God gives us instructions on how to deal with each other. He tells us, be angry but sin not. Ephesians 4, 26 to 27, do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not make room for the devil. And so, but sometimes when people agree and they don't know how to disagree, sometimes it's healthy to vent and talk to somebody when you don't feel that you can talk to the other person. But by that same token, like you said, people know when you have an ult against them by the way that you come back at them. And so, yes, we have those resistances. Yes, we talk to other people about other people. It's just human nature to run your mouth. But you have to truly find forgiveness. And the way to find forgiveness is just like you shared. Send them love. I know there's been times my own son and I have had some differences and difficulties in our relationship. And I can hear the enemy as my son was in college and he went off angry with me. And I didn't know he was angry with me, but he would dig at me on conversations. And I only came to understand that he was angry with me when he returned from college 5 years later. I didn't know he was angry with me. But I've had the enemy tell me to kill my child. And every time he would come at me with crazy, I would say, no, I love my son. However I allowed him to make me feel when he was digging at me, that's where the conversation in your head comes from, taking things personally. We have to learn not to take things personally based on other people's ideology, based on other people's personalities, based on any resistance that person may have. And when we can find forgiveness for each other like God told us to, again, Ephesians 4, 26, 27, be angry but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. And sometimes you may never speak to the person about whatever went down. But it is healthy to talk to somebody about what has taken place in order that you can process and be done with it and get another perspective, because all we have is our own perspective. Ephesians 4:32 says this: be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There's no justification for acting out. And yes, nobody can make you feel any kind of way unless you take it personally. Matthew 18:21-22 says this: then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? No, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times 70. That's a lot of times to forgive people. But that's the instructions. When we learn to follow instructions, then we can be okay. We can learn to coexist even when we agree to disagree. It's just human nature to act out. But God is calling us higher. He's constantly calling us higher to find forgiveness for each other. And I read this week, and it just makes sense to what we're talking about here today. The young lady, she's an actor, Lauren London. She lost her husband. You were talking about the murders and stuff and life happenings and all the things that is happening. And she said this: you better love the people God loaned you, because he's going to want them back one day. We're leaving this world. And now it's up to you to hold on to unforgiveness, to hold on to bitterness and something somebody said. But it's not even really about the other person as it is about robbing you of any joy that you could have and any relationship that you can have with that person if you hold on to everything that they say. Talk about it and let it go. Find forgiveness, let it go. Because people do know when you have not forgiven them. Because eventually, like you said, on TV, something will remind you of that incident, and you'll get angry all over again. And that's how you know that you have not truly forgiven people, when something else happened and you're reminded of that and you get angry all over again. You get that negative emotion rising up on the inside of you. You can't even hear their name because you're angry with them. That's how you know that you have not truly forgiven them. Your mouth can say you've forgiven them all you want, but if those negative emotions rise up in you, talking about them or something reminds you of the incident, you ain't forgiven them. Your mouth is saying, but you haven't come to grips with it. Because like you said, Dr. Fletcher, you have to keep saying it till your mouth and your heart connect until it becomes real. And that's what happened with you with the experience that you had and God told you to forgive the person. You kept saying it until your heart and their mouth connected. And now you can have a conversation with that person. Now you can be in the same space with that person and not have those negative emotions rise up in you. Yes, it's human nature. But guess what? I only saw one place in the Bible where Jesus got angry, where he turned over the tables in the church because they had turned God's house into a den of thieves, selling stuff in God's house. So for me, that was a perfect example of being angry and allowing your emotions to take over. It wasn't his table to turn over, but he turned them over because he was so angry over the fact that they were disrespecting God's house. That's the only place you see in the Bible that Jesus acted out against other people. But even that, he said, forgive them, Father. When they hung him on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And we have to forgive each other because we know not what we do. We know not how we make people feel. because it's in taking it personal that we have the ought. And Jesus obviously didn't take it personal, because even to the death, to his last word, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. You know, I hear people say, don't take it personal. And I have to admit, I'm struggling with that, because when people say something to you and they say, don't take it personal, then who are they talking to? It's an oxymoron to me, because you're saying it to me and you're telling me not to take it personal. That's just like, do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to me. I'm going to take it personal because you're talking to me. But what the Holy Spirit has said in my heart on that is, don't take it to heart. And that in itself, I just learned as I'm saying it now. He just said, don't take it to heart. Because I could never get past, don't take it personal when you're talking to me. I mean, I'm the person that you're talking to. Of course, I'm going to take it personal because I got to dissect what you said and try to understand what it is. And I'm the person, so I'm taking it personal because you're talking to me. But thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, just don't take it to heart. Don't, you know, you got to look at it. So I'm gonna work on that piece for Bessie, just to make sure that I can get past that, because that has always been one of those things that I just never really had clarification on. Don't take it to heart. That was good. There you go. God has given you so many pieces, so many words, so many examples. And the thing about it is, I go back to David. And David is sort of like, I always had David sort of like my little hero. And I always just had this thing for David. And the reason I had it for David was because God said, David is a man after my own heart. And so being a man after my own heart, I'm thinking, how can David be a man after your own heart after everything that he did? You know, because see, there again, I'm justifying. I'm trying to figure out how, you know, I'm feeling guilty by stuff I've done. And Lord knows we got stuff now. Come on. That we know we've done, that we had to really come and bring that stuff and lay it at the feet of the Lord in order to get ourselves cleaned and renewed. But he said David was quick to repent. Quick. David did something. He ran to God. Laid prostrated out, just, oh God, please forgive me. That's when he said to me, that's why he's a man after my own heart. He said, because I tell you, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down on unforgiveness. Because once you let it go, then you'll start justifying why you did it. The minute it hits you that it's wrong, you need to say, God, I repent. And what God showed me is that when you repent, I remove it, I remember it no more. So if you're not repenting, then you decide that you want to keep that on your side of the plate. You want to hold on to it. You're not ready to get rid of it yet. I am quick to repent. If it come across my heart and I feel it some kind of way, I'm like, Lord, please forgive me. And I'm repenting, because I'm like, I just need that off my plate. I'm repenting. And that's an easy thing to do. But it comes to repent is to forgive. Can't do one without the other. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
our show, Mothers and Daughters. We'll see you next Saturday morning. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Deborah. I hope you're feeling better. And we'll see you next Saturday morning. Goodbye.
Okay. Thank you. Blessings. Bye for now, audience.